Greetings, everybody, from inside of one of my personal worst weeks.
Greetings from inside one of my personal best weeks. Megan and I are on opposite ends of the spectrum right now.
We really
right
are. Now. Are you really in one of your best weeks right now?
Of my life?
Yeah.
It's pretty, you know.
I mean, like, or just like general period?
Oh, great question. I mean, I would say I'm inside a pretty good period.
Yeah.
But also, there's extremes within that good period.
Yeah. I just feel like I'm on a slide that doesn't have a bottom right now.
Megan, there's a bottom to every slide. I just want you to trust in that.
I mean, I sure hope so. Isn't really the bottom of every slide death?
Jesus. Megan! Pull just it together.
Really getting, I'm just really getting in spooky moon flavor here.
It's fine. I mean, I finally have AC in my house to update
That's
all the
true.
Listeners who I'm sure care.
So I mean, I certainly care. I feel like I watched part of the video of last week and I was just like, I just look so
sweaty,
uncomfortably warm.
Yeah, you can tell.
Yeah, I look disgustingly warm.
So now we have AC in here.
Yeah.
So everything is much better.
It really is. Whew. It's so much better.
Upgraded my life, you know?
I can actually breathe
and
think.
Yeah, and think. It's hard to think when it's hot.
Yes. This is Magic the Amateuring, by the way, a podcast about Magic the Gathering for people who play the game, who just started playing the game, who want to play the game, who played the game and forgot how to play, and everybody else.
That's right. Everyone's welcome, aliens included, animals
yep.
included, bugs,
yes.
most bugs, not all bugs.
Yes, we are currently the number one magic podcast for pets.
That's true.
So.
You don't want to put other magic podcasts on for your pets.
No.
Because I've heard, this is just a rumor, but I've heard when people play limited resources and a dog is home alone, it will shred just something.
It'll shred something.
It'll shred.
You heard it. If you want to keep your furniture intact, don't let your pets listen to limited resources. We, of course, recommend the podcast for people.
Yeah, absolutely.
But just not for
But
pets.
Dogs, it's a little,
no,
you know, it's touch
it
and
rough.
Go there. You're not sure
it's
what's
going to
happen. Here on Magic the Amateuring, we have topics.
Yeah, we do.
Like any normal podcast. And
yes.
This week is no exception, you'll be happy to learn.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about Spooky Moon, our first draft of Spooky Moon. It was awesome.
It was. It was a lot of fun. We're also going to be talking about how to approach your first draft of any new format.
Carefully with a knife in one hand.
I mean, really the way I approach any new thing.
Yeah, yeah,
which
absolutely.
Which is why I just don't start many relationships. I feel like I'm just turning them off right at the
well,
beginning.
Well, when you come at somebody with a knife and you're
exactly.
like...
Exactly. I'm welcome. Like, you seem really nice, but I have a knife in
yeah,
my hand
Yeah, that's two
while
different messages,
it.
Megan.
Ah,
you see
well,
where you see the disconnect?
No, I don't.
Well, okay.
So moving on.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some new deck lists in Standard potentially with
mm-hmm.
Spooky Moon. The Pro Tour is coming
mm-hmm.
up just around the corner,
mm-hmm.
as is a limited event in Australia. So we want to know, has anybody broken the format already? Question mark.
What?
I don't know. We'll
Maybe.
Find out.
We'll also bring you a brand new Flavor Text Theater segment, which we are very
yes,
excited about.
Yes, it's the newest of the new. We've
it
never
is.
Done it before.
Should I give them a teaser?
Yeah.
It's inspired by the fact that just this week while I was at work, I started listening to Welcome to Night Vale.
Yeah, great show.
I've been super enjoying it. It's so weird.
We also have a mailbag for you guys as well. We've had
yep.
some fun listener questions. Of course, remember, we are on Patreon, patreon.com/MTAcast. Thank you so much for everybody who's become a new patron since the last episode. We welcome you all with open arms and open hearts and open minds.
And
thank
open
you.
Heart surgeries.
Yeah, we. if you're in need of open heart surgery, we welcome you. And
yep.
we will provide that service to you. Keep in mind, we are not surgeons.
At all.
But we'll try. You
At
know?
All.
And I think really, if you feel like you can do it, can't you just do it?
Yes.
If you dream it, you can achieve it.
That's how surgery works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it is. I think it is. Yeah, but great rewards for everybody who decides to support the show. And you also get a good feeling in your heart. Speaking of open heart surgery, you'll get a good feeling in your heart when you become
that's
a
why,
member.
That's why people have open heart surgeries. To have good feelings in their hearts.
I just snorted. Snort laughed. I feel dead inside. Open heart surgery, please. I'm a husk. Open heart surgery.
I'm sorry, what seems to be the problem with you?
I can't feel love.
Oh, open heart surgery.
Hey, did you ever see that movie called Return to Me that had David
Definitely
Duchovny
not.
In it?
Definitely not.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Okay. So he starts, his wife dies, tragedy.
Okay.
He starts dating this woman who had to have a heart transplant and got the heart of his, you know, dead wife.
Yep. This is a movie plot.
I know. Isn't it just the just like somebody got drunk and thought of this and then it became a movie somehow?
Yeah.
Oh my god, just the dumbest plot in the history of the world. But I saw it. I did watch
it. Wait, what about that one with Keanu Reeves and somebody else and there's like a mailbox and they're years apart, oh, but yeah. Somehow they send each other letters?
Yeah.
That might be the dumbest movie plot ever.
I didn't
and
see that one,
And this one
though.
Is in second.
I haven't seen it.
Okay. No, but the premise enough.
Put it on the list, Megan.
All right.
For the noobs! Your first draft.
That's right, everybody. Just this past week, we picked up 2 packs of Spooky Moon and 1 pack of Shadows Over Innistrad and sat down for our very first Eldritch Moon draft.
Oh, it was awesome.
It was a lot of fun. I had a great time. We drafted with a couple of friends, as we usually do the week after the set comes, or the week after the pre-release, because
it's not released yet. Yeah.
But if you've got enough prize-winning packs between all of you from your pre-releases, then you can,
no reason to not draft it.
No reason to not draft it with a bunch of friends.
Don't crack your pre-release packs, okay?
That's right.
This is a PSA.
We'll be so grossed out.
I feel it every time somebody cracks a pre-release pack, and mm-hmm. I get a Charlie horse, and that's really painful, so just, like, don't do it.
Yeah.
If you care about me.
Every time someone cracks a pre-release pack, my ears itch. But they always itch, so.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
That really sucks.
Every time somebody cracks a pre-release pack, an angel's wings are ripped off feather by feather. And it's not like a dark angel. It's like a good angel.
Like a good one.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty brutal. Pretty brutal. So get with your friends and do a draft if you win some packs
Quick
at
question.
The pre-release. Yeah.
If you're ripping off an angel's wings feather by feather.
Yeah, going back.
Isn't there still going to be like the wing structure beneath the feathers?
Yes.
So they'll still have wings, but they'll be
little little bald bone wings.
Gross.
Yeah, it's
weird.
Really terrifying. Have you ever seen Dogma? Like they shoot off the wings.
What?
And that's what's left. Yep. So really disgusting.
Yeah.
But draft with your friends. We had a good time, but you're saying to yourself, how do I draft a format for the first time, Maria and Megan? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going in blind. Well, here's the good news. Everybody's going in blind to some extent, okay?
Yeah.
Especially blind people.
Yep.
But also everybody else, because we are not sure how good all of the cards are. We can have some idea because we've educated ourselves about how to evaluate cards over the years. But nobody knows for sure. And the first draft, the second draft, third draft is a great time to test out some new rares and see just how good you think they are.
Yeah. I feel like there's kind of 2 tracks that you can go down when you're sitting down to one of your very first drafts. You can either be like, do you know what? If it's a rare that's even a medium amount playable, like, I'm going to take that rare and figure out how good it is.
Yeah.
That's definitely one thing you can do. Or you can pick kind of one of the overt synergies or strategies in the draft and try and, like, draft around that if you open a card that's really good in it.
Right.
Which is kind of what I did. I a couple of cards in, realized that I was getting past a bunch of emerge creatures.
Mm.
So I was like, do you know what? I'm going to see how good this deck is. Like, I'm going to draft. I ended up in blue-green emerge.
Was it really a straight emerge deck? What did you have to make it emerge deck?
Basically I drafted the creatures that are actually like advantageous if you sacrifice them, like Exultant Cultist. That's the 2/2 that when it for 3 that when it dies you draw a card. Or there's like an 0/3 for 1 and a green that when it dies you search for a basic land and you put it onto the battlefield tapped.
So you're not getting you're not just sacrificing them for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. It's not just like, oh, bummer. I also got just like some utility creatures like Stitched Mangler, the 2 and a blue 1 from Shadows that taps down a creature when it comes into play. And it's sort of like, okay, you know, that kind of like did its job for a little while. Like it came in, it locks
something
down.
And it can come back.
I'm thinking of a different one then.
Oh.
I'm thinking of just the 2 and a blue 2/3 that comes into play tapped. And
oh,
it ices
what am I
down.
Thinking of? I'm thinking of the flying thing.
Oh, yeah. Stitched Scob.
Yeah. Whatever that is.
Or yeah, something like that.
Something
the 3/1.
Yeah,
and then there's the 3/4 now.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty cool. And
yeah, and you you had like Wretched Griff, which it gives you a bonus when it comes into play by drawing a card.
Ooh, and I had, oh man, I really liked, let's see, I had the uncommon that is a merge 7 and a blue and just
the 8 crab
or 9 normally, not the hexproof one. I did have the hexproof one also,
yeah,
but the one that gets you an instant or sorcery out of your graveyard.
Sick.
That card was sweet. Especially since in green I had like a couple of the fight cards.
Yeah, and blue-green in this format I think likes to have its spells.
Yeah, it does. I super enjoyed it. I think I don't think I drafted it optimally.
Well,
I
kick yourself. It's the first one.
You know, I look forward to trying it again is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
So I definitely went kind of the synergy route where I like opened a couple of I had a couple of these cards that were in a new, weird, interesting synergy and draft strategy, and I was like, I'm going to do this.
Let's try it out.
See how it goes.
Yeah, I kind of went the route of trying out individual cards to see how good they were, starting with my pack one, pick one, which was the 3/3 for 3, that it, when it becomes this target of a spell or ability, sacrifice it, and then it goes into exile. Sorry, exile it. And then you can cast it from exile for 3.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it's a 3/3 for 3. That's pretty backbreaking in an aggressive deck, and if say gets exiled somehow, well, oh well, I'll just play it again.
Yeah.
I picked it over Faith Unbroken. Is that the card that is 3 and a white for +2/+2 aura, and then you exile somebody?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that card's better, but I wanted to test this one out and see how good it was. I would give it's solid. I would say it's like a C or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's fine. But yeah, it wasn't a major bomb or anything in my deck. But I ended up drafting a pretty aggressive deck. Didn't give me a color commitment right off the top either. So that was kind of neat, and kind of stayed open a little bit to see what was getting passed my way. I ended up in a Rakdos, which is red black aggro vampire deck,
mm-hmm.
which was kind of interesting because the whole madness mechanic is the vampire's thing,
yeah.
And there's not nearly as much madness happening on the text of these cards in Spooky Moon, and I ended up with not enough discard outlets.
Yeah,
because I'm not sure if I just wasn't prioritizing them highly enough, but I also just don't think I saw them, because I definitely had it in my head, at least from the middle of the second pack on, that I needed to look for them, and they just didn't show up. It turned out to be fine though, because I got 2 Blood Hall Priests, which turns out is a good card.
That card is bonkers.
4/4 for 4 that deals some damage if you have no cards in hand. Mm-hmm. Has madness for 3.
Finished me off one game.
Yes, it did.
I had stabilized. I had freaking stabilized it too.
I knew. I had 2 of them.
Oh,
there
Blood
were
Hall
3
Priests
in the draft even, and I had 2. And I was like, oh man, if I draw this, it's going to be brutal. Top deck, boom.
Oh, why?
Feels
and
bad,
that was
man.
After, like, I had a sick turn, actually.
Yeah, it was really good.
You remember
good.
That turn? Because I had ended up with 3 Emerge creatures in my hand. So I played It of the Horrid Swarm, which is the 4/4 that gives you 2 insects sacking something. And then I sacrificed that to the Lurker.
Yeah.
That for blue and a green. So I cast
Bounce.
That, only play blue and a green, put something on top of it, someone's library.
Yeah.
And then I paid just blue for the one that gets an instant or sorcery back. And then got my instant my fight card, and I like fight it. So I like wiped your board.
Yeah,
in a solid
that was
turn.
A sick turn.
Yeah.
Sick turn.
It was pretty great.
But tell you what, Rakdos doesn't care about that. Oh, you're playing a good game of Magic? Well, guess what? Boom, 2 to your face. Sad tears.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's possible to draft an aggressive deck in this format. That's been proved. But I don't know if Vampire Synergy is particularly as strong, just because I don't know, maybe it was only this draft. I wasn't getting as much discard as I needed to make all my sweet madness work. We saw some other really cool decks as well in this draft that I want to mention. One card in particular I lost too hard, and so did every single person in the deck in the draft that played him. Drafted a, what is it called, Lone Rider, the 1/1 that has lifelink.
That was bonkers.
And if he costs 1. And if you manage to gain 3 life in a turn, transform it, flip, it's a 4/4 lifelink.
First strike?
That card's really hard to beat. Yeah. You have to kill it. I don't think you're going to beat it in combat ever. And guess what? Gaining, just like putting a little extra 2 on that one lifelink that it already has,
it's not difficult. Hard. No, there's a lot of tricks that get the job done.
Part of me was like, is this a standard card happening right now? Is this a standard card I'm seeing right now?
I don't know.
It was that good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It that rides as one.
It that rides as one. Yeah, it was pretty sick. Pretty sick. Yeah, man. But general rule of thumb, too, if you're going into a draft for the first time, you've never played the format, even if it's not Spooky Moon, even if it's something from the past that perhaps you never had any experience with, mm-hmm. you can always, you know, kind of stick to some color archetypes and know what you're going to get, basically, from drafting those colors. So, you know, red, black, it's probably going to be an aggressive deck. Green, black, it's probably going to be a slow, grindy, blocky deck. Blue, white, probably flyers or control of some sort. That's just kind of a good guideline to go by if you go into a draft completely like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my tip. That's if I found myself in that situation before. And just, of course, good knowledge of card evaluation skills, which if you listen to this podcast, hopefully you have a little bit of that in your back pocket already.
Unless we've never told you anything helpful.
I mean,
have we?
Have we?
Have we?
I feel like we have.
Putting you to the test, have we?
Quick question, what's the vanilla test? Go!
I mean, have we ever even... I'm sure you've mentioned it at some point.
Yeah, we have.
I've never said something so concretely helpful as the vanilla test.
Megan, don't put yourself down on your own show. I won't have it. Explain it right now, then you'll know.
Nope.
That you have.
Nope. I refuse. I refuse to be helpful.
The vanilla... I know we've talked about it.
I know. Don't say it. Don't say it. Go Google it.
Google it. You'll find it out. Because Megan's just being a stick in the mud right now.
I'm being a tyrant today on this podcast.
Whoa, what am I, your subject?
You're like, you're whatever tyrants have.
A throne.
Aw, you're better than that.
Thank you?
Yeah.
You're like Jabba the Hutt, and I'm the little guy that sits next to you, and is like...
I'm okay with
Salacious
that.
Crumb.
Yeah.
Okay, sweet. I've always wanted to be Salacious Crumb. Haha, joke's on you. Spooky Moon Constructed!
That's right, everybody. This past weekend, there was the first Standard City Games, Star City Games Open, following the pre-release of Spooky Moon.
That's right. So it was the first chance people had in a pretty big competitive environment to brew their to their heart's content and make some new decks based around Spooky Moon cards.
So what did we see?
Bant Company.
More Bant Company.
Boo!
Bant Company.
Boo!
It did get a couple of new additions, of course. We also saw in the top 8 some green-white tokens. Hello, old friend. Or nemesis, depending on which side of that divide you fall on.
Yeah.
And some goggles. Some green-red goggles. And what was the word
Sultai.
I was thinking? Sultai Control, that's correct. Thank
so
you.
So I just want to mention the cards, which, in case you don't know, they're pretty obvious, but they're the ones that were included in Bant Company this time around. We added 3 Thalia in this iteration.
No surprise.
Which
Who's
is the deck
surprised?
That got first.
Don't raise your hand.
Nobody. Nobody's surprised. That card's
right.
just sick.
So good.
4 Spellqueller, who's surprised?
That's right.
Nobody, that card is also sick.
Oh, it's so cool, though.
It is really cool. Let's read it quick. 1 white blue for a 2/3 creature spirit flash flying. When it enters the battlefield, exile target spell with converted mana cost 4 or less. So if something was like on the stack or whatever, get it out.
Like Collected Company, maybe?
Ooh. I would love to counter a Collected Company.
Collected Company.
That would feel great.
Get out.
When Spellqueller becomes the leaves the battlefield, the exiled card's owner may cast the card without paying its mana cost.
Okay.
Sure.
Sure.
But hopefully by that point you've won the game. Or are near to winning it.
Yeah.
That card is so versatile. It does so much.
Yeah.
It's just great.
And it says when it enters the battlefield, correct?
Yeah.
And it's 3 mana.
Yeah.
So hello, Collected Company, into Spellquellering your Collected Company. What is nastier? What is meaner?
Gross.
What is more gross than that?
Art when this room
Siege
was that
Leech.
Hot.
Leech Rhino.
Leech Rhino.
But besides that, nothing.
The other new addition was 4 of Selfless Spirits.
Which one?
1 in a white for a 2/1 flyer. Spirit Cleric. Sacrifice Selfless
oh, that's
Spirit.
Right.
Creatures you control gain indestructible until end of turn.
That makes a lot of sense. Hello, yeah. Tiny Avison.
It is Tiny Avison. Just a little bitty Avison.
Hey, guys. I'm here to be like, you're indestructible. You're indestructible. You're indestructible.
So those were the additions to the Bat and yeah. Company deck, and they were all, I would say, not really unexpected.
I'm a little surprised by that 2-1 spirit.
That 2-1 spirit is the most surprising addition.
But. At the same time, I haven't played Band Company this season, so what do I know?
Fair enough. All right, so here's a deck we all thought we were going to see. Showed up. I believe this got 13th. Oh, yeah, Jeff Hoogland played this deck. Spirits.
Spirits.
Blue-white spirits. There's a lot of debate going around on if this is actually going to be a quote-unquote real deck that is actually quote-unquote good.
I'll tell you what's real.
What?
Ghosts. Keep going.
Megan, do you really think ghosts are real? Question.
Oh, God, that's a really good question.
I know, that's why I asked it. Hard-hitting. Hard-hitting questions here.
I don't know. I've never been able to satisfactorily make up my mind. The very reasonable part of me says no.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But the part of me that's like, we're stupid. Like, what do people really know anyways?
Almost nothing.
Next to nothing is like, hey, maybe.
Have you ever had a ghost moment?
No, I distinctly remember when I was a kid, I was like laying on the couch one morning when I was having to get ready for school.
Yeah.
And I was like looking at a pair of boots and I thought that the boots jumped towards me one at a time.
Whoa, that's creepy.
It was. It was obviously so creepy and startling that I've remembered it because I was like 8 probably.
Yeah.
So I've remembered that for a long time. I distinctly remember being like, oh my God, those boots just jumped towards me.
When I bought this house.
Yeah.
You know the story. I was in bed one night when I heard from underneath my bed,
yeah,
mind you, a distinct, did I scare you?
Yeah.
Good, because that's what I felt like.
I bet.
Except it was 1 a.m. and it was coming from underneath my bed.
Oh my God.
It was terrifying.
Yeah.
Terrifying. So much that I required somebody to sleep in my house. Like, just in a room. I didn't care. Just somebody come over and sleep in my house. I was too scared to sleep by myself. I was terrified. This house is old.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh my God, somebody died here and they're haunting me and telling me to get out. And other weird stuff would happen. Like, my toolkit that I had at the top of the stairs, like, all of a sudden, like, fell down all the stairs.
Yeah, I remember.
Okay, so all that stuff happened. And I was really scared living here. But at some point, I was just like, you know what, Maria? You just gotta make peace.
Yep.
With this ghost.
Yep.
It's not leaving.
Nope.
So we made our peace and yeah. both moved on, you know?
Yeah.
And also, I think it was just a mirror that fell off my wall in the living room underneath my bedroom.
Yeah. Ghost host, do you believe in ghosts?
Ooh, great question.
That's really reasonable
yeah,
of you.
It makes sense.
And like I said, the reasonable part of me wants to say no a lot of the time also.
Yeah.
So I agree with you, at least partly.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
I see where you're coming from.
Blue-white spirits!
Do you think we're just ghosts to ghosts? Keep going. Anyways.
Like, if the ghosts are another dimension and we are the ghosts in that dimension?
Yeah.
That's a good chance.
Keep going. Anyways.
Okay. For Mausoleum Wanderer, of course, the little 1/1 for one that gets +1/+1. So it is spirit prowess when another spirit shows up. You can sacrifice it to counter a spell unless that spell's controller plays X, where X is the Mausoleum Wanderer's power.
Mm-hmm.
4 Rattle Chains, whom we know. 4 Selfless Spirit, 4 Spell Queller, and, you know, randomly, 4 Archangel Avison, because that card's good. Because why not, I guess?
Hey, what's good? Avison.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, that, I mean, it plays like Planar Outburst, Scatter to the Winds, Ojutai's Command, Essence Flux,
ooh.
Clash of Will, so you're countering stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of like a countery, spirity deck. It seems fun to play.
Yeah, definitely interesting.
So that got 13th. So, it's not out of the game just yet.
No. 13th is inside the game.
What was the other one I wanted to... that I saw in here. It was an Angels deck. Here it is. This got 8th. Black-White Angel Control.
Oh, which I also heard as kind of like Black-White Legendary.
Yeah, that's another name for it. The reason that it would be called that is because it has 2 copies of Thalia's Lancers
mm-hmm.
in here, which you can go find a legendary creature.
Ooh, what kind of ETB. Legendary creatures does it play?
So it plays 1 Archangel Avison, legendary, mm-hmm. obviously. Bruna, the Fading Light, 1, legendary, obvi. 3, Gisella the Broken Blade. Mm. Ooh, there's some melding happening.
Ooh.
Yes, spicy, spicy. 2, Kalitas, Traitor of Get.
Oh.
1, Linvala the Preserver.
Ooh.
So every single last one of them.
Legendary. Legendary. Minus those Lancers who are just like, make way for the legendary.
Yeah. And then it plays only some more good cards. Hold on. Liliana, The Last Hope, Obnixilis, Sorin.
Like, seems reasonable. Okay. Seems very reasonable.
I mean, there's some decks out there that you're just like, I have an idea. I'm going to literally put every good card, every best card in this deck. Boom, deck.
There we go. Although, notably, mic drop. No Gideon.
Yeah, I guess so.
Gideon was kicked out.
I guess at some point you have to cut a card.
He was just like, they're just like, oh, do you know what? Like, technically you're legendary, but you're just like too much of the common people.
Man, I really want to make Brazella in standard, so please make this a thing.
I mean, right. It got eighth. Who knows?
Who knows? The other one I wanted to talk about was Green Black Delirium.
Ooh.
Has our old friends Deathmist Raptor and Den Protector.
Yes.
And a new buddy, Gnarlwood Dryad.
Ah, one for one yep. That gets, with Death Touch,
yep.
That gets +2/+2 when you have Delirium.
Mm-hmm. Another one of a new friend. Grim Flayer, ooh. Mythic 2/2.
That's right.
That the gets +2/+2. Yeah, it has trample. Yeah, 2/2 with trample. No, more relevant when it has delirium because it gets +2/+2. It's also playing 2 Mind Rack Demons.
Interesting.
Which is a good delirium card.
I mean, if you've got delirium.
Sylvan Advocate, and of course, Ishkana Graph Widow. 1 copy.
Of course.
I mean,
what
not,
do you mean, of course?
I mean, because she's awesome with delirium.
Yeah, she is.
And, that's all I meant. That was it.
And that's just, it. She's awesome with delirium, period.
And she's just a sick bomb.
Yeah, it's very true.
She can stabilize the board if you're behind. She makes some blockers. Eventually, if you have enough mana, drain, drain, drain.
Snap.
Yeah. So this deck looks pretty cool, too. So there's some cool options out there, and these are not totally unsurprising in their builds. But the Pro Tour, like we mentioned at the top of the show, is only a couple of weeks away, and that's where we're really going to see some decks come to the forefront and shine in this new standard environment.
That's right. This coming weekend, there is a limited GP in Sydney, and then the following weekend will be Pro Tour Eldritch Moon.
Ooh, I'm so excited.
In Sydney as well.
Yeah.
So make sure you're ready to tune in wherever you are around the globe. Maybe your hours will be a little bit weird, but hey, that's life.
That's okay. Maybe we'll be able to watch the start of the Pro Tour like at night.
That'd be awesome.
That's kind of cool.
That'd be pretty cool.
It's like, you know, must-see TV. Remember when that was a thing?
No.
It was like Thursday nights, like Seinfeld or whatever.
What?
On NBC. Oh, gosh.
I have no idea what you're talking
I don't know about. Either. It was a thing. It was a marketing campaign.
I believe you.
Okay, good.
But I think
good.
It's bullshit.
The Pro Tour, and like, I love watching the Pro Tour.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things. The production's just through the roof, and you get to see, like, it's the first time that the pros bring these decks that they've been, like, testing with their teams in secret for weeks, come out to play. It's just really exciting.
It
and
is.
Of course,
it's super cool.
I love seeing limited GPs on coverage as well, so I'm really excited to see what GP Sydney brings to the forefront. Nothing like watching some sealed and draft, am I right?
It's awesome.
I love it. So, yeah, let's keep our eyes on what's going on in coverage these coming 2 weekends and see what we're going to be packing for our own PPTQs in the future.
Hey, everybody. Okay.
Full start.
Ooh, we're going to talk about Vintage Cube really quickly because it's currently on Magic Online and I freaking love it.
Oh, I didn't know you loved it that much.
What? I do. I love Vintage Cube. It's so much fun. You get to draft so many wacky things. Last week, I drafted a Tinker deck that had a Mox in it.
Sweet.
I forget which one, but you know, whatever.
Who cares?
Who cares? It had a Mox in it, and it had Tinker, and it had Inkwell Leviathan.
Sweet.
Which is the artifact whale.
I don't know. It's a Leviathan.
It's a Leviathan. Sure. Artifact Whale.
7 blue for a 7/7 shroud.
7/11. A 7/11 shroud.
Because it went to the gas station.
It really did.
Island walk.
So anyways, and like in round one, the first time I went like, you know, like Turn two, I played a signet of some kind. And then turn three, I tinkered away the signet and got Inkwell Leviathan.
Yeah, like you do.
Like you do. And then the next game, I went turn one, I went like island and a mox. And then also played a signet. And then on my second turn, I tinkered away the signet and put the Leviathan into play. And I was like, yep, this feels pretty normal.
So tinker, for those of you who don't know, is a sorcery that allows you to sacrifice an artifact, go mm-hmm. find one from your deck, and just put it into play.
That's right, for two and a blue. Seems fair. The idea is that you put lots of stuff like mana rocks, like signets in your deck, and usually like a lot of card draws, basically what I had. Yeah. I had like signets and card draw and an Inkwell Leviathan. It worked out great.
We also drafted a similar deck when we were streaming with Gabby Spartz the other night.
That's right. You should check out her Twitch channel, which is just Gabby Spartz.
Yeah, and I think that broadcast is probably archived. It was like a 12-hour stream. And
she also puts them on YouTube.
Oh, sweet. So we were near the end if you want to check out, because the draft was pretty excellent.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And then, I didn't tell you this, but I drafted a Tinker deck like 2 days later.
So what we're saying is, go get on the Vintage Cube and draft a Tinker deck.
We're on the Tinker train.
That sounds weird.
It goes both ways.
What?
I can't believe you didn't.
It only goes forward. Uh-huh. The Tinker train. Only
the Tinker
goes
train.
Forward.
And I had never actually previously drafted a Tinker deck, so uh-huh. it was kind of cool. I like pack one, picked one Tinker, and I was like doing it, and I got equal. I got that. I got Mirror Battlesphere. Brightsteel Colossus. Good one. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, there's lots of Phyrexian Metamorph. Big artifact creatures that you can get, like the Sphinx too.
Sphinx of the something something.
Which is one that we went. Yeah, Sphinx of whatever.
That's blue, white, black.
Yeah.
Huge Sphinx daddy.
Big Sphinx.
You want a lot of card draw. Because you want to be able to find these things,
mm-hmm.
the pieces of your combo. I didn't have enough card draw in mine. That was my problem. But
and the one with Gabby, we also had like some ramp
and
so, like,
reanimator.
One time, so one time we just like hard cast an Inkwell Leviathan for 9.
Why not?
Because we had like a basalt monolith mm-hmm. or something like that. And we also had some reanimate.
Yeah. So, yeah, Vintage Cube is super fun. There's tons of strategies, and if you haven't tried it out, mm-hmm. it's a chance to play with cards that are absurdly powerful and do really broken things.
Moxen.
You get to draft Moxen.
Moxen. Yeah. We were playing an opponent on Gabby's stream hood, too. Do you remember?
Yes.
And both times they would play them in the same turn. It would be like Mox Pearl, Mox Jet.
It's like, must be nice.
Go to hell, buddy.
Must be nice. And
go
reanimator.
Straight to Moxen hell.
Reanimator is one of my favorite strategies in Cube. That or Hoofing 'em with Crater Hoof Behemoth.
Good old green ramp.
But of course, green ramp with black reanimator. I saw that happen.
Oh, I believe
which
that.
Which is kind of cool.
Can you reanimate Crater Hoof?
Why not?
Be like,
boom.
Here it is.
Double hoofed.
Nice.
And of course, you can draft Burn if you're that person.
Keep it honest.
You can draft Storm and do mm-hmm. a ton of damage with some tendrils or whatever the heck else you want to do with your crazy Storm shenanigans.
I think there's like Brain Freeze. You can Brain Freeze them out, which is Mill.
Yeah.
Mill card with Storm on it.
Yeah. You can be fair and draft like green, white, fair cards, but I don't
why
know
would you
why
do
you
that?
Would.
The best thing to do when you're drafting Cube is to not draft a fair deck.
Mono White's kind of a fair deck. But kind of also not.
It's kind of in the vein of mono red, isn't it? Where it's just like super aggro.
It's super aggro.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But then you also get the advantage of being able to Armageddon people.
Yeah. That's
like,
true.
Creature, Armageddon.
So they put these cubes out. For instance, this one's out right now because the set Shadows of Innistrad is kind of old, so people aren't really drafting that very much.
Mm-hmm.
So get on there, draft some cube until...
Before Eldritch Moon.
Eldritch Moon comes a-knocking on the 29th.
Spooky Moon.
I know, I'm so excited.
Me too. I can't wait to draft it more.
I know. We're going to be sitting there just...
That's right.
Draft party.
Just drafting it.
Do you guys have draft parties where your friends come over and you bring your laptops and you just draft? Because me and Megan do.
We do. We eat pizza rolls.
Put some Buffy on and just draft.
Also, if anyone knows anyone who works at Tostino's...
Call us,
why
please.
They're not sponsoring this podcast, I don't know. We've taught so many people who
what
listen outside the U.S. What pizza rolls are.
We really have.
We're really an ambassador program.
And also, like, Tostino's, what are you doing? Put your pizza rolls in other markets.
That's right.
They're just straight up delicious.
Come on.
I mean, people will buy them. If it's good, they will come.
That's the traditional saying. that I've heard. That's the classic quote.
Megan, we've got to get some roles for Sydney. Do you want to do us some GP Sydney roles?
Yeah.
Okay, sweet. Mailbag! Guess what? It's time to open our sack and read you what's in it.
Yep. Or just a computer browser. Or just an internet browser.
It's a virtual sack.
Or an email. You don't want to know what a virtual sack is. That's not it.
This email comes from Adam. Okay. It starts off with yo, yo, yo. So we know he's a baller. Okay.
Nice opening, Adam.
I kept hearing the term functional reprint while listening to a Spooky Moon set review, and I didn't know what it was. He actually said I had to look up the definition. I learned about the difference between functional and strict reprints and thought your audience would be interested to learn as well. Great point, Adam.
Yeah.
Yo, great point.
Great point.
So let me just do a little bit of light reading for you here. Functional reprint cards.
That's right.
Serve the exact same function. That's why they're called functional reprints. Uh-huh. As the card they resemble, except for the name. So that means they need to have the same mana cost, the same power and toughness, and essentially the same rules text. Although that sometimes is kind of, people will say functional reprint even if it's not exactly the same.
Yeah, sometimes there might have been like an oracle text change or something like that. Or maybe the card had something that essentially was later a mechanic.
Yeah.
And so the new card has the mechanic on it, whereas the old card just has text, which means the mechanic.
Right.
So for example, if there, you know, we have the classic lightning bolt, red, deal 3 damage to target creature or player. If we had, if, you know, they printed a card that was like baller lightning, that was a red mana and it said 3 damage to target creature or player, that would be a functional reprint.
So where it's not exactly the same, so it's where it's sort of similar enough, they'll still call it a functional reprint.
Yeah.
Strict reprint, of course, is an exact reprint.
Exactly.
Of a past card.
The same card. Same name.
The same card.
Sometimes it has different art.
Yeah. Sometimes new art. But yeah, functional reprint basically means about the same or the same as an old card with
basically
new name.
Basically the same.
Yep. Here's another email from our mailbag, which is really important and has a really great message for everybody.
Yes.
This is the entirety of the email. Subject line, hello. Body of the email, I identify as Emrah Cool.
That's it.
That was it.
It's actually the best email we've ever received.
I mean,
it's great.
Somebody's got to identify as Emrah Cool.
You know, I really feel like they, like, there's so much to be learned about simplicity.
Somebody took the time to send us
that email.
Yeah.
We so appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
If you would like to send us a question or just some factual information about yourself.
Yeah, we'll take it.
You can email us at magictheamateuring@gmail.com.
You can also head to our website, magictheamateuring.com. There's a contact form on there if you don't like to remember words. Or you can tweet at us at MTAcast. Welcome to Flavor Text Theater. I'm Marianne Bottoms.
And I'm Fluster Weatherstorm.
And we're here with the news from Innistrad.
That's correct. Today, as you may know, there have been several goings-on under the Innistradnian shadows.
That's true.
And we're going to bring you the updates live as they happen.
Here on the news at 10 p.m. There have been reports of people's lawns flying into the air and onto the lawns of other people in Innistrad. Groundskeeper. says a local groundskeeper.
Yes. Well, this, of course, isn't exactly news, but for those residents wondering if they should yet step outdoors, there is still currently a chance of hail as well as a stronger chance of angelic purge. So we recommend that everyone just stay indoors.
An update now on the youth program at Innistrad High School. The mentorship program has been going well over the past few weeks. Children are learning new things from various mentors in town. However, it has come to our attention that one mentor, notably the Stormkirk mentor, has been devouring children whole. So if your child is a mentee of Stormkirk mentor, keep in mind he is a vampire and will suck their blood.
Yes, we are currently calling everyone with some equestrian skill. There are several fanged horses running around these days, and we find that we are not quite able to contain them. So if you perhaps know how to handle horses, please contact us, and we will put you through to the proper horse wrangling authorities.
We're all familiar with the hounds of the near bogs. But keep in mind that there are hounds in the far bogs as well.
Yes, dangerous in both the near and far bogs.
The medium distance bogs are, as of now, uninhabited by hounds. Yes.
As we mentioned, there are both angelic purges and fanged horses mucking about, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be wary of dangers closer to home, like perhaps the shard of broken glass lingering on your floor from when last week you dropped that cup. It broke! And you lazily swept it up because didn't you just want to go back to bed?
No howl, no snarl, just the roar of the flames. It has been reported that several people having run out of firewood on Innistrad due to various tentacled entities stealing it up in their sloopy arms have decided to set wolves on fire in their fireplaces and use their dried bodies as fire starting material. Keep in mind that using an ember eye wolf will not necessarily make your embers burn.
Yes, there have been several abandoned homes, really many abandoned homes, found as the weeks go on, but in this particular town we have had a series of letters that report hearing a tormenting voice inside of those houses, which is the reason why they were evicted.
If you are feeling yourself under the influence of a spooky moon, remember we do have a chaplain in town who will give you a blessing, but keep in mind, no matter what you pay for the service, you will only gain 5 years onto your life. Only 5.
Yes, if perhaps you, unlike many people these days, is taking in a recreational game of golf and you can't remember what par is for the particular course that you're on, we have, of course, developed a way to mitigate that particular conundrum taking place on our golf courses with the vessel of par amnesia. So if you find yourself in the midst of a game of golf, unable to remember par for that particular green, just find the nearest vessel of par amnesia and it will be able to remind you.
Now time for some weather with Stone Quarry.
Hello, my name's Stone Quarry. I'm a grizzled weatherman with a chest that doesn't stop. In today's weather, Innistrad will once again be cloudy with the smell of blood in the air. Rain expected at some point, only it won't be rain. It'll be the weird, sloopy sweat drippings of an Eldrazi. My name's Stone Quarry.
That's right. It's now time for our eerie interlude. Ooh-wee-oo. This has been today's Eerie Interlude.
We have a caller on the line to our new show, Paranoid Parish Blade. Paranoid Parish Blade, what seems to be the problem?
It's just that I feel like I have a tentacle coming out of my arm.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Paranoid Parish Blade. That'll be all.
As many of you have noticed, it has been just daylight in certain parts of the country. Dusk has not been coming on. So we now have the Dusk Watch recruiter who is taking on the brave task of finding out exactly where the dusk went. If you too would like to join the Dusk Watch, simply contact the Dusk Watch recruiter, and together the two of you can find out where nighttime went to sleep.
That's all for this news from Innistrad. Once again, I'm something or something. My last name was Bottoms.
And I am Fluster Merriweather. I'm sure that's about what it was.
Well, everybody, that's our show. Thanks for listening again this week.
Yeah. If you didn't listen again this week, what the fuck are you doing right now?
How are you hearing us?
What's happening?
Great question.
Ooh.
Me. Anyway, my name has been Maria for this whole time.
My name has been Megan this entire time as well, except for a brief period of time where I was Samantha.
Oh, really? When was that?
It was like in the first 5 minutes, but you didn't say my name.
I'm sort of more of a Carrie.
Yeah, I don't believe you.
Are you telling me I'd be a different Sex and the City character?
Oh, I thought that you were just saying like in general.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah. Huh. I wouldn't be a Samantha.
No.
Let's not have this conversation.
Let's not ever have this conversation.
Ever have this conversation.
I'm sorry, it was a joke. Never. And then it became real.
I never want to have this conversation with you.
You're Miranda. Anyway.
I know it though. Anyway. Gross. Barf.
We've got some great stuff going on Patreon. Head over there. If you're not a member, we're going to add some more member-only content like we do every week. Of course,
that's
we have
right.
extra 5 minutes. But we're also going to add even more content for members only because we've reached several rewards. And only they get it because they're awesome.
Yes.
I mean, you're all awesome. But they're giving us money,
yes.
so they're going to get some.
Okay. you can follow us, as previously mentioned, at MTAcast on Twitter. Send us an email, magictheamateuring@gmail.com. Go to our website, purchase some sweet playmats or t-shirts, magictheamateuring.com. And check out the video of this podcast on Tolarian Community College, where there is also a host of other hilarious and informative videos.
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff going on out there in the magic world, and you should be a part of it with your eyes, ears, heart, and sometimes...
mouth.
But, oh.